Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me. It is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024, and this is the weekly news update. I'm excited tonight. Once I get through a few updates, I have David Lindsay joining us on the show tonight. And I was reporting to you we had him on the Empower Hour a few weeks ago because he has the potential of ending up in jail for, oh my goodness, what they call, criminal charges against him for assault. And it's completely trumped up. It's to silence him and get him removed. So he was in court last Friday for the sentencing hearing, but that was not complete and remains ongoing. There will be another court proceeding and David will be discussing that, but I'm just going to do a few updates. We'll start with our beautiful map of Action for Canada. I just had Mayor Colvin from Chestermere, Alberta on the show. And as you may be aware, he and three councillors were removed from office after exposing a tremendous amount of corruption. They were reducing taxes by between 20 to 30%, but they were exposing that hush money was being paid out to individuals. There was literally criminal activity taking place, and yet Daniel Smith has done nothing about it. The justice minister is trying to push it under the rugs. Mayor Colvin has four individuals reaching out to him saying, you know, what can we do to get you to set this aside and not talk about it anymore? But Mayor Colvin and the three councillors are so brave and courageous. They are like, nothing. You can't bribe us. You can't stop us from exposing this information. It needs to go to court. People need to go to jail over this. So I hope you'll go to our description because we'll ensure that we upload the Empower Hour for you to view. Okay, so moving along, I want to again encourage you. I've said every week we're not on YouTube. We can't achieve anything on that platform because we're too awake and aware. We like to speak the truth. And as you know, YouTube does not associate with the truth. They try to quell it. And so our platform, our wonderful platform is Rumble. If you just key in Action for Canada Rumble, you'll come up with this page. Please become a follower. And as you subscribe to our page and give us a thumbs up, I mean, these things matter when you're viewing our content. And then please help us out by sharing our information because we are an organization that does not just report news or have impressive guests coming on the show and advising you and educating you. We actually have actions. We are mobilizing citizens within their community, as I have already shown you on this map. This is not just maple leaves across Canada. We have active chapters working in their community, mobilizing people, providing them with very effective resources that we've created in order to do that, from filing notices of liability against the 15-minute cities, letting mayors and city councillors know that their actions in supporting this, it is actually treason. They are representing a foreign entity, unelected individuals that are trying to break down our democracy and destroy our sovereignty as a nation. And so there's really important information in what we're doing, and it is compelling mayors and city councils to think twice. And it's also educating them on things that maybe they thought they were doing a good thing, that there really is an environmental crisis. And so they're signing on to everything without actually doing their due diligence and researching it first. I've actually had individuals that are in elected positions telling me that, well, I trusted the minister who was tabling it, for instance, at the federal level or in provincial level. And so we were going in to have a vote and I just supported it. It wasn't until a couple of years later that I realized I was supporting the wrong thing. That one is an example of SOGI123 here in British Columbia. Somebody actually, as an MLA, said that. And so I think it's reckless, and that people need to, if they're going to be an elected official and they're going to vote on something, they must research it. So that's part of what Action for Canada is doing, is getting in there, boots on the ground, getting into talk to mayors and city councils and school board trustees, and then also supporting those good people who may only be one or two that are sitting on a board in desperate need of outside help and applying pressure to the rest of the board. And then, of course, we want to be very involved in raising up well-informed individuals to run for office. And Action for Canada has great resources and materials to educate those who are going to run for office as candidates as well. So also, please follow me on Twitter. I am being completely censored on Facebook. And it also appears that things are happening on Twitter as well. People are reaching out to me and saying, Tanya, I had to really search to find you on Twitter. So can you just follow me on Twitter and then provide some of the information, share what it is that I'm exposing here. And again, I always like to provide resources from our webpage that you may otherwise not be aware of. One of the issues that I'm really dealing with is all of this pro-Palestinian, which is pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism that is taking place in streets across Canada, the United States, and Western nations around the world. And we cannot forget what happened on October 7th. I came across this video today, and this is a father, his wife, his children were taken, and this is how they're taunting him, beating him. I won't go into it further because I know it's very disturbing, but are you aware in the universities that our students are coming out in support of the Palestinians because they're thinking and believing they're the victims? Now, I hate the fact that there is a war going on, but there are other countries in the Middle East where the Muslims, it's Muslim on Muslim wars, and it's Muslim on Christian wars, and it's Muslim on Hindu wars. And the key to it is Islam. That is the connecting dot. And so we cannot facilitate any of the pro-Palestinian marches. We should not be tolerating them. We should have zero tolerance for them being out on our streets. They do not have the freedom of speech to come and promote terrorists in our country. And so I will be doing a portion of that just before I bring David on. But I am posting about a lot of this information on the website, because if you're listening to Global News, if you're listening to CBC or CNN, God forbid, but if you're listening to any of the mainstream media, they are trained to feed you lies that are going to tap on your heartstrings. But it's not based on the facts. And I used to call this, I had an individual in my life, we all have those people that are not healthy individuals. And what they would do is they would commit an action, and that action would have hurt me deeply. And so I would have responded appropriately to that action, and then they would have responded back to me as if my reaction was the beginning point. And so then it was as if they had the right to abuse me just a little bit more. Okay, do you see that nasty little cycle? That's what's happening in this war between Hamas and Israel, is that there was a ceasefire. Israel was not attacking anyone. Where does it start but in Hamas and the Gaza Strip or Iran or whomever, always with the Islamists. And so the attack that happened on October 7th is that first offense. And now Israel is in a fight for the survival of their country, and they are responding. Never in history has anybody sent notes from the sky to say, hey, we're going to be attacking this specific area, this hospital or these schools, because underground are Hamas cells where they've got artillery, etc. Never in history does any other country ever do that when they're at war. And we've got to understand, this is not a genocide of the Palestinians. There's millions of them. And they are completely, the majority are in support of what it is that Hamas is doing. Well, guess what? The majority of Palestinians in Canada support Hamas. That's why they're out on our streets. And so please be sure, Amy Mech is amazing at providing information as well. Also, what is on the rise is this diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I know that this says North Carolina, but we're going to just talk straight out about it. We've heard about Black Lives Matter. We've heard about diversity, equity, and inclusion, but this is a social justice engineering agenda that is dividing society. And again, it is race baiting when we were very near a colorblind society, and that it is absolutely opposite of equality, because these individuals, it's happening in Ontario. I have a trustee from a Catholic school board who is sending me information on diversity and inclusion, and that within the schools, it is the Black kids within those communities committing horrific acts of violence, and that the teachers and staff, they're being told if they say anything about it, they'll be in violation of the diversity, equity, and inclusion. There is definitely work that needs to be done within this community, but this is not the way to do it because it is promoting violence. This student ends up actually abusing the teacher, and I'm hearing about this definitely in Ontario as well. Some teachers are afraid to go to work in some schools in some communities. Again, I promote Action for Canada materials, and again, educate you on all kinds of different events that are going on. And I think that it's vital information that we're not seeing elsewhere. Like, this was huge, fantastic news that Tennessee just became the first state to ban the spraying of aerosols into the atmosphere. And then other states, Kentucky, New Hampshire, Minnesota, Rhode Island, etc., are also placing bills that are going to ban geoengineering as well. I mean, wahoo, right? This is extremely good news. So again, please follow me. And I'm also going to be asking weekly that you support us, become a monthly donor. There is a lot of work that we're doing in the backgrounds with individuals. I keep saying dignitaries in other countries that are protecting our borders. It's prohibiting certain individuals to come into our country that are bringing extremism in. There's so many other things that I wish I could talk about that we're doing, but also, if you see this map and this size of our organization, and I say the size of it, but it's growing. We're constantly adding new chapter leaders. This would be a multi-million dollar organization to run. And we are on a fraction, a very bare fraction of that to run Action for Canada. You know why? Because our people are volunteering and fighting daily for your rights and to defend our children. But it does take money to run an organization this size. So please consider becoming a monthly donor. We appreciate one-time donations, whatever you can do to support us. I think that this is one of the strongest organizations in Canada, not the only one, but one of the strongest organizations in Canada working effectively on behalf of Canadians. Okay, next week our guest is going to be Dr. William Mackies. I'm going to have this on the end of the show as well. I just really, in case you're having to sign off early, we're going to be talking about the turbo cancers, but the ivermectin and other treatments. We're going to be talking about fasting. Again, there are so many people being diagnosed with cancer, so I don't want you to miss this show. I needed to do a pre-record with him, and I can tell you in advance it's going to be spectacular. Week after that, very concerning, lots of talk about digital ID coming in to our banking systems and into our retail places. And so Rob Anders is coming on the show. He's going to give a presentation and we're going to have a great conversation about that. I always like good news reports. In California, of all places, parents, teachers are starting to win court battles. I always say California is the armpit of the United States along with New York. But I mean, they are the most woke state as far as the assault against our children. And because they're out in force, they're winning the battle. So that I want to keep you encouraged. Join Action for Canada. Join our teams. We are Gideon's Army. We are out there and we are doing battle and we are coming out against the tyrannical and aggressive ideologies of the radical LGBTQ sex activists who are after our children. And I need you in this fight. We need you in this fight. Okay, breaking as well. Arizona Supreme Court upholds law banning abortion in nearly all circumstances. Huge stuff is happening throughout the United States. This is important. Why? Because we want God to bless Canada as well. And so this is an upcoming election issue in Canada. God does not bode well. It does not bode well with him at all as we are killing all of these babies in the womb. And then the Liberal government as well is turning around and saying we need population replacement because we're not having enough children in Canada. A lot of people don't just call it population replacement, white replacement, European replacement, whatever it is. We had people that built this country and it was magnificent. We were thriving until all of that came. But we need Canadians having babies, Europeans having babies again. We need to replace the population, the dying population, because of the government murdering so many people, I could even say, and through euthanasia, through the deadly vax, the jab, and of course, through abortion, and then of course, through sterilizing our children. All right, this is a culture of death, and we need to counter that with life. We need to support life from conception to natural death. All right, this is a video. I'm now going to just do a few updates as far as the Islamists in Canada. This is the former prime minister, I believe, of Israel. And I just thought he was in an interview with a Canadian, I'm sorry, I don't remember her name right now. And it's, I just thought what he said was dead on. So let's just play this video now.
We're very busy and we don't have much time, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts on Canada's stance on the war.
I'm disappointed. I think Canada, you know, taking a negative stance both in terminology and the embargo and refunding UNRWA, which has proven to be a direct supporter of Hamas, having 12 UNRWA workers that they were part of the massacre. They murdered and massacred Jews, yet Canada would continue the funding. So it's disappointing. We expect friends to be with us, not when it's easy, but when it's tough. And make no mistake, Mercedes, we are fighting the war of the West. Because if we don't win, every terror organization on earth is going to adopt this tactic of embedding itself within civilians and then raping and murdering Europeans, Americans, and getting away with it because there's a new method that you're not allowed to fight it. Do you understand how vital it is that the world supports us in defeating this total evil? And I think it's a mistake.
And I agree. And just hear the words of what he's saying. And I've had Majed Alshefi on the show previously, and he says, first there was the Saturday people, and then there was the Sunday people. The Jews celebrate on Saturdays, and Christians celebrate and go to church on Sundays. And that's the purpose of that, all right? Islam is a very intolerant political system. It is not a religion, all right? Make that very clear. It is. It masks itself as a religion to insidiously get into Western nations and then use their constitutions and their policies against us. And so, you know, they want to scream, oh, freedom of religion, Islam is a religion. It's not. It's a political system, a very violent one. And we're seeing that. We all know moderate Muslims or nice people. We know people in Iran, many Muslims in Iran are finally willing to fight out on their streets against the Iranian regime. And those Iranians came to Canada and want to live in peace here. I believe that. But at the same time, we've seen what's happening in Europe, in Sweden, in London. They don't just come in. It's not just the moderate Muslims. It's the extremists that follow. And they are having success in every nation in tearing down their sovereignty and taking over. And they are there to populate, and outnumber us so that they can infiltrate our government and become elected officials and start pushing their policies, such as Iqbal Khalid, who pushed policy motion M103. And they say it's just a motion, but they're using it. They're, criticism of Islam. Islam is up for criticism in Canada. It must be criticized. And all manifestations of Islam must be shut down in Canada. Every mosque, every Islamic center, every school that is being surveillanced right now, that goes with the Khalistani Sikhs and the temples as well. I'm going to keep saying this message because Canadians are being dumbed down and they're being said that we got to be nice and we got to be tolerant. But my friends, look what's going on in Europe. They're saying they're done. It takes brave leaders like Geert Wilders in the Netherlands to rise up, spend 20 years trying to rise up to defend his country and then to shut down Islam in that nation. We don't have a choice anymore. This is our country. They knew when they moved here that we're a Christian nation, and so we have a fight. Now, when I said that they're implementing and they do it incrementally, is that there's just been an announcement today that the federal government is to begin exploring halal mortgages. Well, halal has been going on in Ontario, and then Daniel Smith in Alberta to get the Islamic vote in April of last year. You can see right here, Daniel Smith establishes Sharia banking in Alberta. This is Sharia law, Islamic law. Remember I said Islam is a political system, and they are setting up here in Canada. And now Trudeau is planning on, tabled a bill. And this is where we should be, every single one of you. You need to be writing to the government. You need to be demanding that your MP vote against this. This is treason. All right. We cannot bring in other political. I've said they're making silos of political systems that are failing in the 56 Islamic majority countries. And now you want to entertain them here because you feel that you want to give more banking options. There is reports that the halal products, halal banking, halal chicken at Costco, that there is a percentage of the sales that go to fund terrorism. And there's reports on that. Okay, so we're talking about the Iranian regime. Last week, I was talking about this documentary. I believe it was CTV News, Global News had done. And it says here, the Islamic Republic of Iran is among the most dangerous regimes in the world today. It gives billions a year to terrorist groups like Hamas, which in turn helped fund the October attack on Israeli civilians. The regime violently oppresses its own citizens too, as you saw in 2022 when a young Iranian woman was beaten and killed by its so-called morality police. Recently, another woman who wasn't wearing her hijab, beaten, I believe she was murdered. All right, this is not a religion of peace. This is a violent political system, and they are entering Canada, and we have individuals who are reported tied to the Muslim Brotherhood in all levels of government. Know who you vote for. Care about this. This needs to become an election issue. The IRGC is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and Trudeau has refused to designate them as a terrorist organization. And in the meantime, as I've been reporting, there's 700 known IRGC officials living in Canada. And yes, they've deported a few of them, but there was reasons they say they aren't doing this. Let me just see if I've got the right page up. That may not be the right one. Sorry, excuse me for a moment. Okay, so they say it's very difficult to get them out, Iranian officials, even if they are inadmissible once you get them back in. This is from the CBSA. That's why I'm calling for a moratorium on immigration. You all need to help me out. Sign the petition. It will be in the description below of the Rumble video here. And get this going, because every time it's signed, Trudeau, Minister of Immigration, etc., they all get a copy of this. And we've got to shut down immigration from Islamic nations, from third world countries. We just need to shut it down completely and get our house in order. And so I mentioned the 700 names. They go, more than half the reports concerned Canadian citizens against which immigration authorities cannot take action. He said their presence in Canada made community members feel unsafe. People come to Canada because Canada is supposed to be a free country and a safe country. This type of individual actually curtails the ability for people to feel safe. And if I'm just not mistaken, based on, there was other things that they were going on about the other reason that Trudeau isn't designating the IRGC as a terrorist organization, because he's like, do you know how much that would cost? How many people that we would hire for our border patrol? It's like, oh my goodness, he's sending billions of dollars outside of this country, of our tax dollars, to useless, pointless initiative to bankrupt us, and he's not going to put it into our military and our security? I'm telling you, I would be okay with our tax dollars going to hire people to vet individuals coming for our country. There should be a no-go zone. This is a no-brainer, and this is the government we currently have in office. And so there was more information about the U.S. did it. The EU has designated the IRGC a terrorist group. And now Canada won't put Iran's Revolutionary Guard on its terror list. Every time you see an article, Trudeau is saying, yes, we're thinking about it. since 2018 was the first report I had. Yes, we're thinking about making the IRGC a designated terrorist group. It's like, what is he doing? And now in talking to another official that I'm dealing with about this threat towards Canada, as I mentioned, I'm doing a lot of work on this. I was talking to them earlier today and they said, I never thought I would see this happen, that our youth are out in the streets supporting Iran. And I just read to you a description of the Iranian government. I mean, this is the most brutal regime in the world that are killing their own people. And they don't think twice, they don't blink about destroying or killing or annihilating individuals in other countries. And so their terror is felt worldwide, and yet Trudeau is still thinking about it. Now, over the weekend, you may not have heard, but on Monday, April 15th, Palestinians worldwide had this site, and they were doing a coordinated, as you see, a multi-city economic blockade on April 15 in solidarity with Palestine. They're bringing their war to our soil. Israel is our ally. They are the only democracy within the Middle East and within that region. And yet the Palestinians think we care about what's going on at this point with their violence coming to our streets and the threat to the Jewish people that live in Canada and to our welfare and our well-being. So thank goodness I have good news reports here. And this is because of work that was going on in the background, as I mentioned, and discussion with top police officials saying, you need to take this more seriously. They should be doing their job without Canadians saying, you need to remove the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorists who are out on our streets. You need to remove them. So 21 people have been arrested in Halifax during this event, 45 arrested in Montreal. I am extremely happy with these news reports. So you need to be appealing to the police. Also, what happened because of a previous Palestinian protest rally. Sorry, I was having problems with my voice there for a moment. In the streets, one individual, Razali Anwan Bahadur, 45 of Toronto, was charged with public incitement of hatred and failed to comply probation order. So he's already on probation. He's in violation. And just so you know, I love talking about Honest Reporting Canada. They give great detail in news reports. But this fella's name is Navid Anwan. And yes, you know what? My full understanding is, yes, they're related. They're brothers. And they are part of an organization that, as far as I'm concerned, is a terrorist organization. So not only does the organization need to be shut down, but these two individuals need to be deported. And let that be a signal for everybody else that is out on our streets committing these offenses. Now, I was going to go, why is this happening? Why are we being flooded with my immigrants? And that comes from the Global Compact on Migration and 17 Sustainable Development Goals. A lot of you are only aware of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals and, no more poverty, no more hunger. And you know that ever since, this little cabal at the UN and WEF put all of this colorful little pictures about it all in order, it's done exactly the opposite. We now have Western nations with 2 million people lining up in Canada, for food. And etc. So the Global Compact on Migration section was they want to destroy the borders, which is what they're doing. You see it happening in the U.S. and that invasion over the United States border. We saw it several years ago start in Europe and the U.K. with thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of African men flooding in to Europe, then making their way into America and into Canada. This is a planned invasion. And says now they say, to a comprehensive agreement on safe, orderly, and regular migration. These words are all BS. I'm just going to come right out and say it, okay? Nothing is as it seems. It's never meant for anybody's welfare. It is to destroy. This is an attack against Canada, a very well-constructed one. Trudeau is at the head of the helm here in Canada. He needs to go to jail. He needs to be charged with treason. I can say it over and over again. That was just a little more information there. Again, this is a worldwide problem, and they're starting to work towards taking men are coming out on the streets, okay, in Ireland and other places and saying, we're not putting up with this. they are finally coming. This may be a civil war, and our men and ourselves need to be prepared for this. So here's the massive Stop Mass Immigration and Demand a Moratorium petition. It is exactly in order with what we want. If you go to the end of the letter, it says, therefore, this is what you're signing. I demand the government cease and desist their reckless immigration policy and implement a moratorium on immigration, with the exception of providing refuge asylum for persecuted Christians and Jews until such a time as the government can assure Canadians that the policy will be based on selecting immigrants that serve the economic needs of Canada and only permit those who accept and embrace our Canadian Constitution, which is founded on Judeo-Christian principles, biblical principles, our democratic system, and other values that are the crux of Canadian society, which I have to point out, these values which have up until now enabled this country to flourish for 156 years. All right, so this is the bottom line of the immigration policy. There are individuals coming to this country where they should be staying within the Middle East, where they can eat their own foods and enjoy the hot weather and do whatever. If they can't find peace there, why are we allowing them to come to Canada? And for sympathy's sake, allowing them to set up their failed foreign policies and make their demands. All right, we're fools. We're fools if we're going to go ahead and continue to allow this to happen in Canada. So make sure, again, know who you vote for in upcoming elections. All right, so now I'm very happy and excited to bring David Lindsay onto the show, who's going to join me right now. And my friend, I mean, we were really praying on Friday, last week Friday, for you because you were heading to court. You've been representing yourself. You are a national hero, my friend. The little jailbird is out. He's still singing. And so we're going to need, I know I'm laughing. It's a serious issue, but you and I have a good friendship and a good relationship. I promised you I'd make you a cake with a file in it. I'm there for you. But anyways, once I heard that you weren't actually going to jail for a small period of time, I thought it would be incredible if you came on the show with me for the weekly news update and give us exactly that, an update of what transpired in court and where you're heading. But before I hand it over to you, shall I go straight to the video for a moment, and we'll give 42 seconds of context for those viewers who do not know who you are and what it is that you're going through and the falsified, trumped up charges that are against you. The judge, the crown, everybody behind this should be absolutely ashamed to show their face in public after what they're doing to you. Okay, so let's just play this clip for 42 seconds, and then I'm going to give the floor to you.
So if you have the email address, you're given all that. You can call for that. You can go and do your information demonstration on a public sidewalk. That's it.
Well, I disagree. I have a right of access.
Well, gentlemen here will support us.
Well, you know what? I disagree. So,
David, assault.
That is assault.
It's assault.
But he has to be able to go through.
Okay, you know, I'm pinching myself. Assault! Assault! I mean, that's how crazy this is, David. I look at this, and I mean, I don't know, people can't see the steam, the fire coming out of my eyes. I think this is so shameful that the BC government and that our courts are entertaining this, and that the Crown didn't dismiss this a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first thing, never, ever have a protest or do anything without having somebody video it.
Absolutely.
One of the things the Crown attacked me on Friday was that we had somebody videoing this, and he tried to turn it around on us and say that we were trying to take, you know, boast about it or something. The whole purpose of videos is to prevent them from taking advantage of us. And I'm so grateful to both Leo and Bruce, who have taken videos of virtually all our rallies and everything we've done over 3 years. Not only me, but all of us would have no memories. We'd have no record of anything without their dedication and their sacrifices to do that. So I'm really, really thankful. And, you know, your point earlier, We had over 100 people in the courtroom. It was packed.
Nice.
And we had literally thousands of people all across Canada praying. It was wonderful. We had people, friends praying outside the courtroom. And those prayers had a massive effect. And, you know, in my own prayers, one of the things I said was, if I'm not worthy, if I haven't done anything to justify God helping and intervening, that he would listen to everybody else's prayers. Because there was a lot of prayers out there, a lot.
There was,
and they made a phenomenal difference.
There was, David, but understand as well that if you do on the next round end up having to go to jail, even Paul spent time in jail. And
Absolutely.
Paul did that for good reason, right? Because through it, his ministry was heard, and in his suffering, God was working. And we're seeing a lot of that happening going on in Canada, as good people like Pastor Artur Pawlowski and others that were wrongfully put in prison, the Coutts men, one of them is still, you know, imprisoned. It's just so much injustice going on here. So it definitely wouldn't be a reflection. We see this as not an assault. I know that the judge, I think she even supported, if I'm not mistaken, in some of the update you gave me, supported that, well, you know, we need to take action against David because there was a crowd outside and, they, you know, it could have incited violence and they could have taken off at a, who knows what would have happened. And I'm like looking at that crowd thinking, these are, you know, people my age, you know, people of society that are well respected. I mean, are we looking at the Palestinians in the street right now? I mean, is there going to be an equality? Will this be used, you know, to take care of those individuals? I mean, what is violence really anymore in Canada?
Her whole case was based on a legal fiction deeming. And I mean, what are we going to have? A bunch of seniors running with purses and umbrellas attacking armed police officers. And, you know, the gratefulness for the videos, again, it shows everybody was peaceful. Everybody was people were talking to the police and they were talking to security. Nobody was violent. Nobody was swearing or screaming. So the whole thing is, it comes down to deeming, right? And it was serious, as the Crown said on Friday. Oh, sure it is.
Sorry, I'm going to say fabrication. And just before, I'm going to give you the whole floor in a second, but as I was going through my mind, I found out today, going through some conversations, somebody was, you know, they can easily call somebody, deem them a terrorist or something, but neither of us are on an FBI list. We're not on a CSIS list. We're not terrorists. Nothing has been designated as such. Your rallies throughout the past 4 years have been amazing. They've been community building. They've been families showing up there with children. Mm-hmm. We've never had to worry about language or sometimes content, but that's only because we're talking about the government's content, such as SOGI and sexualizing our children and some of the graphic details there. But otherwise, David, you are a stellar member of society who is doing his constitutional right to be out there having how do they call that not events, but I'm sorry, I'm at loss for the words, gatherings, you know, if you want to call them gatherings, rallies, whatever you want, but you've been within your right to do that, and you had a right in this instance to enter Interior Health to give people an idea of how you were going to Interior Health. You wanted to talk to somebody and they were blocking the door, so actually they leaned into you. So tell us what happened in court last week. It's all over to you.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, it's interesting that one of the things these Crown prosecutors love to do is ambush you. I requested for weeks in advance to know what his submissions were going to be. What is he going to want? He did tell me what he was going to ask for, but he never told me why or what arguments, what case law. I knew nothing. And so he surprised me at court. Basically, a few days before court, he sends me 7, 8, or 9 cases. And of course, some of them are massive. He doesn't tell me what paragraphs he's referencing. So I go in, I know nothing about what he's saying. And he hands me a 150-60 paragraph written submission that he starts to go through on Friday morning. And he attacked everybody, Tanya. He attacked the people, the supporters in the gallery. He attacked the people, the protesters that were at our Interior Health rallies that that the RCMP have admitted repetitively on TV that we have been peaceful the whole time. Of course, he attacked me, and the attack was not muted in any way. He just went on the offensive right from the beginning to say that the touching was innocent and was not innocent, and it was so dangerous. And he goes to refer to us or analogizes us to the Stanley Cup riots in Vancouver, and how, you know, I can't control the people that are at the rallies. It's a mob mentality, he said, and everything could have got out of hand on us. Just right off, it could have been just a firecracker that went off, and everybody could have gone ballistic. And of course, there's absolutely no evidence of that. You're talking 11:30 on a sunny, warm day in the middle of summer, with middle-aged to seniors people, and we'd been there twice in the past. Everything had been peaceful and always was, and it was just astounding the way he mischaracterized everything that we were doing. And you know, it kind of reminds me of a picture I saw with this snake holding a fish coming out of water, and it tells about this wonderful brave snake who's saving this fish from drowning. And it's just amazing how you can mischaracterize anything that's happening. And that's exactly what the Crown has been doing in this case. And it's important because, Tanya, they're trying to shut down everybody who's in opposition in Canada, and especially people, as you said, who are in the public. That's one of the reasons I kept the protests and the rallies going, is because we're in the public eye. And when you're in the public eye, you get support, you get visibility. Everybody knows you're there. They know there's somewhere to go to if they have problems or questions. And the government cannot simply say that you don't exist. Case in point, when Bonnie Henry got asked by Global on TV what she thought of about our rallies in Kelowna, and she said, well, they're just a small fringe minority. And then Global shows a massive picture of 2,000 people at one of our rallies. And it just made her look like an idiot on TV and a liar. So the Crown is going ahead. They tried to shut us down with bylaw tickets. Every time we had a rally, they tried to shut us down with bylaw tickets. When that didn't work, they filed for an injunction. That is still before the courts. It's coming up in June on my application to my SLAPP application to strike their petition, because it's a denial of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and freedom of assembly. And now they're trying with these falsified criminal charges. The goal is several. Number one is to get me out of the way, in the hopes that if I'm in jail, the rallies are not going to go ahead, and that'll send a message to everybody. It's to send a message to everybody: you will obey blind authority, whether we have the power to tell you what to do or not. That doesn't matter. You will comply or you will go to jail. And it's to try and frighten and scare everybody, and to try and shut down what we're doing to expose corruption here in Kelowna. They want to use the media as a weapon to tarnish my name as much as possible, of course. And the Crown went on and on throughout the whole day. And then finally, I got to speak around 2:30 in the afternoon. The Crown was extremely repetitive, which is unusual. Not unusual, but it's unusual the judge allowed it, because they usually tell me or anybody, you've made your point, move on. The Crown was repeating himself 5, 10, 15 times on an issue throughout the day, and the judge just let him talk freely. No discernment, no nothing. Just go ahead and talk. And then I got up to talk later in the afternoon around 2:30 or so, and we didn't get done. So we're looking at a new date, and the judge asked me, how long do you expect? And I said, well, at least half a day, for myself. And she got really mad. And, no, you're not getting another half a day, and that's it. We're going to set it for half a day for everybody. Well, she's not available, and the Crown has admitted already, too, we need a full day. So we looked at July 25th. That's not available, and because there's concerns about another 100 people showing up, and there's only one courtroom that can handle that, and that courtroom was booked on that day. So it may be into August already, which is an interesting scenario, because on one hand, the sentencing has not taken place. They haven't even fully heard me. And at the same time, I have my appeal on the conviction filed, And that's coming up for a hearing on Monday next week to determine where we're going to go. And I emphasize again, Tanya, thank you to you, Odessa, Erica, Ted, everybody who has helped, our own group here, who has helped with donations to get those transcripts covered. It was just, I couldn't have done it otherwise.
Good.
And I'm so grateful for everybody's help. The one thing I did mention in the afternoon, I'll just paste the link into the chat box. This judge, I've told her before she's biased many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I raised this case, if you want to take a look at it, to her. And I said, how am I going to get a fair and impartial hearing before a judge who wore the mask, went and got vaccinated, went and had plexiglass, believed everything they said, wouldn't let anyone in the courtroom unless you were also masked, and went and refused to allow a father to talk to his own 11-year-old son about the dangers of vaccines and allowed the mother to go and force the kid to be vaxxed. And now here I am, who is vehemently opposed to all the vaccines, vehemently opposed to the mask issue, which is why we were there, and all of the COVID fraud. And I said, how am I going to get a fair hearing when you've already believed everything they've said and you've already ruled in favor of the government? And she just got really nervous and just surprised, like, how did you know about that? And it's something I should have raised probably earlier, but this judge is pro-government. The Crown says jump, and she says how high. But you know what? Prayers worked, and prayers will work again. And I really do believe when we come back into court, my analysis that's going to show, because the Crown's primary thing is, Mr. Lindsay, there was three cops there. You were told by all the cops, by Paladin Security, by Interior Health, you were told repetitively three and four times, you're not allowed in. You were suspended. And you still tried to go in. What they failed to tell them is that Greg Smith lied to the police and falsified a criminal complaint about me to them. And we played it last time. We don't need to play it tonight, but we played it last time, the 2-minute video, where I went into the building to talk to reception. And ironically, reception were not wearing masks. None of them. They had no masks on. And they assaulted Leo and physically threw him out of the building, Greg Smith. And then about half an hour later, they went up to the police and told them that I had been causing a disturbance, which is a criminal offense. So the police were brainwashed. They believed the Greg Smith. But I got the video, and I finally got it on the record on Friday. And the judge was visibly noticing when I said, here, stop it. Here is this violent man who is assaulting Leo, throwing him out of the building for no reason. He just says, you're not coming in, and physically turns him around and pushes him out of the building. And that was a violent assault compared to what, you know, our touching that we had. And that got her attention. I finally got that video on the record. And so she was cognizant that there's a lot more to this situation. Yeah, likewise. So was I. It just showed, you know, Greg Smith does a victim impact statement saying he can't go anywhere. Lindsay and his anti-vaxxers are accosting me everywhere, and I'm so upset, and I can't do anything. And meanwhile, he's the one that started it. Always look to the beginning. Yeah. He lied to the police. The police believed him, and that's why nobody was letting me in.
Yeah.
And he started it.
Yeah.
And of course, what was I going to do? I want answers. I want Sue Pollock, who issued this mask order, to come out and answer our questions. Be accountable, right? That's what they didn't want. And it was a setup. It was entrapment. And so far, they've been successful. But it is going to come back to haunt them in the long run. Because Greg Smith, you know.
I want to say, David, to interject for a moment, it's all becoming public. I mean, when you take a look at these videos, not only the one that we just showed our viewers, and people can go back, well, you should remember to put the Empower Hour you were on a few weeks ago going over all of this in detail. But the second video where you were inside just talking to the receptionist and your buddy was outside recording it after being violently pushed out of the building. Even that, I mean, are you a man or are you a mouse kind of thing, right? Like this is not even violence. Yeah. But I mean, if we're going to talk about physical contact in a way that, oh, it's like, okay, I didn't give you permission to touch me. And they did mm-hmm. that to your buddy, and you were in there just totally peaceful. And they had absolutely no reason. They, like I said at the beginning, they should be so ashamed of themselves for moving forward this. The Crown should be ashamed of themselves. I'm hoping and praying as well. And I thank God I'd ask everybody to keep praying for David, because I believe it moves mountains. I believe prayer moves mountains. I believe God is hearing us. I believe that there will be justice in the courts for the very fact that pray for this judge. Pray for it that for within her own integrity and her own self-worth and what kind of legacy she's going to leave behind, is that in good conscience she cannot support this and to reverse these charges, because it's so pathetic. And now you have, thank God, been able to provide that evidence of the 2-minute video. So I'm very happy to hear that and your update. And so, sorry, you're going to court on Monday. I believe that's to address the city. Is that not that's to address this case?
Yeah, I filed a notice of appeal to the conviction already, because you have to get that filed within 30 days. So the judge is going to, it's just an update hearing for the judge to say, where do you stand? Have you ordered the transcripts? Where are the transcripts in the production stage? And where do we go from here? So I'll be telling them the transcripts will be done by the end of April. They've all been ordered just for the Jordan application on delay, because they took 2 years for this, and the Supreme Court said 18 months. And why should I have to pay $8,000 that's still left in transcripts if I'm going to win on delay and I don't even need them anyway? Mm-hmm. And so that's where I want to get the judge to go, is to say, listen, let's deal with the Jordan first. So tentatively, I could see a situation developing where they set a date, say the end of June, on Jordan, on my appeal, the judge rules in my favor, and the trial judge will never even have a sentencing hearing because the case will be thrown out on appeal on that basis only.
Well, so, David, I'm praying, all praying for a very good result from you. I couldn't have articulated the information as accurately. You're the one living through this. And so again, you're a national hero. I want to give you a huge shout out today and thank you so much for never giving up, never giving in. It's been a tremendous amount of pressure. Thank you to all of our viewers as well who donated to David.
Absolutely.
As we bring people on, you know, everybody, if you gave $10, $20 each of us as we share this financial load, there's going to be more times where we're going to have to ask for donations as well. But if we share the load, it doesn't hit our pocketbook really hard. So just thank you again to all our viewers who are supporting you. And we look forward to you being back on the show. We thank you for all the work you've done with Action for Canada in helping Canadians learn what their rights are, how to apply them, helping us with policies that they can have in their hand to be out there rallying and doing that. And you are the example, putting it in action every single day. So David, thank you. God bless you. And we look forward to having you back on the show.
God bless. Thanks, Tanner.
Thank you. Well, okay. All right. That was amazing to have David on. I hope that you're enjoying the weekly news updates. I use enjoying, you know, in a manner that, or that you're benefiting from them. Maybe I should use that word. It's very hard information. But again, you're not hearing these warnings being bellowed across the news networks that are being funded by the Liberal government, because, of course, they're all behind it, funding it, supporting it, facilitating the takeover of our nation. And so I just ask you to give us a thumbs up on Rumble and then subscribe to our Rumble page and share this video. Okay, next week on the show, we are going to have Dr. Mackies come on. Previously, he was on and telling us about the horrendous situation with Alberta Health and BC Health covering up for pedophilia. And that ring, that was an amazing show. This time he's coming on, as promised, to talk about the turbo cancers and the treatments. I'm so sad because I've just had received a text that a loved one, a family member, one of their family members has had felt a need to take the jab. It's a very young person, and that they were having some problems with their health, and it ends up that a brain scan has shown a blood clot that could eventually lead to seizures. And you and I all know where this is coming from. And so right away, my heart is, I can't wait to get this show out with Dr. Mackies. I did a pre-record with him on Monday because of potential traveling I'll be doing next week, but it is amazing. We first cover some of the turbo cancers what they look like, how they're forming, and what's behind it. Then we talk about, man, the corrupt big pharma and Merck coming together with these new turbo cancer vaccines in order to, how timely was that? And they're taking advantage of people when they're so vulnerable. Most people are being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And so they say they're coming up with a solution. I'd like to know if ivermectin or fenbendazole is in as a part of that little cocktail. It's just disgusting, so criminal. Anyways, we talk about that. And then we move into very amazing detail that I hadn't heard anywhere else. I'm actually going to take that clip and I'll be putting it on our Action for Canada. Under COVID-19, you'll see treatments, third treatment page down. We have some of Dr. McCullough's protocols, and I'll be attaching and providing Dr. Mackey's additional protocols, which includes fasting, some supplements, and other information that I pray and hope will be very uplifting. And hopefully, I'm hoping and praying that, you know, people will be able to recover from many of the adverse effects. As Dr. Mackey says, this is not a treatment that will cure the system out of this, but it will be ongoing most likely for the rest of your life for people who have been vaccine injured. But please join us next week. And then, like I say, please, please share all of our information. The week after, real quick, Rob Anders is coming on. I got this organized today and I was excited about it because I know a lot of you are really concerned about the digital banking. I've been seeing stuff on Twitter this week about a guy in Canada who went to take $3,000 out, and the teller was demanding he provide him the reasons why he was taking that money out and saying she would only give him a money order. You know what? We got to smack down. We got to come against this with our banks. You got to start pulling your cash out again. Invest in silver and gold or do something, but just for the point to tell the banksters, you're not in control of our finances. We're not going to support this digital ID system that you are just, they're just biding their time until everything is ready to get up and going. And then again, in Australia, who has just implemented the CBDCs, and another guy went to the bank to get his money out. Now in Canada, though, finished that thought, that he was going across the same thing. He was like, you know, he couldn't get his cash. And so we know that this is, you know, a threat against Canadians. It's a social credit system. And we want to find out tools in ways that we can fight back. So Rob is going to be coming on and giving a great presentation. That'll be May 1st. So mark it on your calendar. All right. I always love closing off with a couple of Bible verses. And today, I love this one from Psalm 28. For it is that repay them according to their deeds and for their works of evil. Repay them for what their hands have done. Bring back on them what they deserve. I was a little surprised by that verse, right? And it's like, we're not, vengeance is the Lord's. We're not to repay people in like, but we are to seek justice and we are to expose the evil. So let's go to the next verse. And this is from Psalms 2, 10 to 12. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son or he will be angry and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And this is why Action for Canada is just boldly coming out all the time and saying, we're a Christian nation and I'm going to bellow it from the mountaintops. And it's so important. And you can be a non-believer in Canada and you can live in freedom. You can't do that in other nations. And God takes this very seriously, this corruption in government. Justin Trudeau is not going to get away with this. I had mentioned Paul from the Bible. His name was previously Saul. And he was annihilating Christians originally. He was a very evil man. And he had what's called a road to Damascus moment where God got a hold of him. So even evil leaders, that's why we're to pray for these evil leaders, that either God would raise them up or take them out, but that they would have a road to Damascus moment and that they would turn from their wicked ways and do what is right and good. And then just in finishing up, I was reading in Habakkuk this morning, And I'm not going to read actually any verses right now. Well, it's one in chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. So there's nothing new under the sun, right? What they were experiencing back in biblical times is exactly like what we feel right now. Isn't that perfect? The law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. But God has called on us to meet him in the courts and that there will be justice. So I'm going to hold to that promise. But in the forward here, it said, when violence and corruption abound and evil appears to rule, the faithful may be tempted to wonder whether God really cares or is he really in control. Habakkuk's dialogue helps us to understand that God does not despise such questions when they are carried to him in prayer from an honest heart. Believers must be willing to accept God's answers, right? Because throughout history, God is in control of history, that his dealings are always just and right, but he does allow evil to prevail for a time when we turn our backs on him. And that's what we've turned our backs on God for a long time in Canada, and we've allowed evil individuals, some of you even voted evil individuals into office, so you need to repent. That's what God's saying, like repent and say, I'm so sorry for doing this, Lord. I'm awake and I'm aware now because we want God to heal our land. Our whole purpose is that in Chronicles, it says that we are to humble ourselves and pray and to repent and get our lives right with God. How do we participate in this? And that God promises if we do this, he'll heal our lands. And so believers must be willing to accept God's answer and delight in his will, even if those are completely foreign to their own thinking. So some of this is so foreign to our thinking. We're like, how can this all be happening? But it's because God is teaching us through it. And he's saying we participated in permitting this evil to rise up in our land. And so God is saying that he clearly and deeply cares about what happens here on earth. And he's giving us a window of opportunity to make things right. So anyways, I hope that encourages you that I, as a Christian, I don't live by fear. I definitely get concerned. I've got kids and grandkids, but that's what puts the fight in me. That's what gives us the warrior spirit. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that we are to be doormats and that we have to be tolerant. In fact, the Bible is clear that there are 10 commandments. One of those major first commandments is that you shall have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God. What have we done? We've allowed people to come into our nation to raise up false gods. And so then our kids are getting lured into false religions that are backed by demonic spirits. And that's not an unlovely thing to say. There is only one true way to salvation, and it is through Jesus Christ dying and rising again on that cross. And by going to any other religion and saying, I respect your religion, that gives me very deep concern for the individual that doesn't know the way to Jesus Christ. And that is the true salvation. And so we will boldly speak out. We will boldly encourage you. But the thing we won't do is to force you to accept our beliefs. All right. We just want to present them to you, pray about them, ask God to speak to you, and you will be amazed at what happens. So thanks for joining us this week and for the weekly news update and for the Empower Hour. God bless you and God bless Canada.
Today's episode was sponsored by Galatians 5:1 Freedom Coffee. Galatians 5:1 is the first freedom-fighting coffee company focused on bringing unity back into community by bridging the divide with gourmet coffee. It goes beyond fueling the fight for freedom. Action for Canada receives 10% of all coffee sales made. Galatians 5:1 offer a wide selection of coffee products. Go to Galatians51freedom.coffee to choose your own personal coffee experience made just for you.